are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media, and today we will talk about the Day of Atonement. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgression for all their sins. This is according to the book of Leviticus chapter 16, verses 16. Pastor Mkandawira is joining us on the line. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Good morning to you too.
Good morning, Pastor. I'm so happy we are wrapping it up today. I'm no longer confused. Mm-hmm. Please pray for us before we start.
Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Savior and Redeemer, we thank you that you have been with us throughout this week as we have been looking at the sanctuary on earth and in heaven. We pray, my Father and my Lord, that as we wrap up this discussion, may your Spirit be with us. So break this bread, Lord, that we may understand before we conclude this discussion. We want to thank you for that which has gone before us. We ask, my Father, that which you have planted in our hearts, please continue to water by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may grow and germinate unto all righteousness for the glory of your name. So we pray, be with us one more time this morning, because we ask in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi Swami, we are speaking all things the Day of Atonement. But why is it? You know, what is the Day of Atonement? And what happened on that particular day that it's something we speak about today?
All right. That day was a special day in the life of an Israelite.
Okay.
It was a special day in the life of the sanctuary. And so, like we have discussed already, the sanctuary was erected for the purposes of reconciliation between God and man.
Mm.
And so what would happen is, on a daily basis, as people took their sins through the sacrifices of animals to the sanctuary, they would transfer their sins symbolically from themselves into the sanctuary.
Mm.
And so as the priests poured blood on the veil in the holy place, they were transferring the sins from the sinner into the sanctuary.
Mm.
On the Day of Atonement, however, the priest would proceed beyond the holy place into the most holy place to cleanse the sanctuary.
Mm.
And so what he would do is, as he ministers before the presence of God, he confesses all the sins of the children of Israel for the past year.
Mm.
And then when God accepts his confession, the high priest then leaves the sanctuary with all the sins that were deposited into the sanctuary during the past year.
Mm.
So he leaves the sanctuary with all those sins, and then he lays his hands on the live goat, because there would be two goats before the whole process begins.
Mm-hmm.
Before the whole process began, there were two goats, but one would be killed, and then the high priest would take its blood into the most holy place. But as he comes out, he goes to the second goat, where he lays his hands on its head and then prays over it, thus transferring all the sins that were in the sanctuary for the past year into this one goat. And then the goat would be led out of camp into the wilderness and led to stray by its own.
So it was not killed?
On its own. No, it was not killed.
Okay.
No, it was not killed. And so that was the what happened on the Day of Atonement. It was a day of the removal of the record of sin that was deposited into the sanctuary.
Mm.
And this work was done by the high priest, and it was a way of just cleansing the sanctuary.
Mm.
That is what happened on that particular day. So The very next day after the Day of Atonement began the new calendar year. And that means that the very next day, the children of Israel began to take their sins for one more time, daily, again.
What a complicated situation. Got to again. What was the purpose, Pundeswami, of the Day of Atonement? Because we are seeing all of these things, but really, what was their need? What was the purpose of it? And if it was not done, do we know what ramifications were there?
Yes. If it was not done, then man would not have salvation.
Ah.
Then the sin that is confessed by this particular sinner through this, the shedding of blood, the killing of this animal, that sin would remain perpetually recorded in the sanctuary.
Mm.
That means that the process of salvation would not be complete.
Mm.
Yeah. And so it was extremely important that the record of that sin be removed from the sanctuary.
Mm.
So what happens when we sin is that we have against our names the sin that is done in its exactness recorded in heaven. But when we confess our sins, that sin is then wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it is until Christ does atonement for us that the record of that sin that was wiped away is completely taken away. So God then buries it and he remembers it no more. Now imagine the idea of God not remembering. Imagine that.
I would be the most happiest person on earth.
So that is why it was extremely important that record be taken away from the sanctuary so that God does not bring it to memory against you any longer.
Mm.
And so it was extremely important that the Day of Atonement be done.
Mm.
And it actually pointed to the ministry of Christ, the real blood that would take away the sins of the world.
Mm.
And so in the earthly sanctuary, we used the blood of animals. But that was pointing to the actual blood that God would accept in behalf of our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ.
The purpose
of the Day of Atonement was twofold.
Mm.
Number one, to cleanse the sanctuary. That means to remove the record of sin from therein.
Mm.
Then the second was to point to the work of judgment that Christ himself would come to do on behalf of the saints. Those whose sins have been taken away. There is need for a process of investigative judgment, investigating exactly at what point their sins were taken away, and if at all that their sins still remain.
Mm.
And so it is the judgment is a form of vindication for the saints, because the Bible says that we are accused daily before the throne of God by Satan, Lucifer.
Yeah.
The accuser of brethren. Mm. And so as he accuses them before God, he tells of our unworthiness to receive his salvation. But God rebukes him by the record of forgiveness through the repentance we have done.
Mm.
And so the judgment is a beautiful thing in the life of a Christian, because it is a way of vindicating the Christian in their purity, having been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And so judgment is not a way of God trying to punish the sinners.
Mm.
It is vindicating those whose sins have been washed away and then justly applying punishment for those whose sins still remain.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was twofold. The cleansing of the sanctuary and pointing to the work of judgment that Christ would come to do after he ascends to heaven.
Mm-hmm. So, Mpundisi, since the earthly one is a replica of heaven, Right. And we've already established that. Is there also a day for atonement in the heavenly sanctuary? When is that? Is it a continuous thing? What's happening there? Is it, the day of atonement?
All right. So, like you said, the earthly sanctuary only pointed to the heavenly sanctuary. Mm. So it was indeed a replica.
Mm.
As in all the services of the earthly sanctuary were to take place also in the heavenly sanctuary.
Mm.
So when Christ returned to heaven after dying on the cross for us, he went into the most holy place.
Mm.
Now, in the most holy place is where the high priest would pour the sins of the sinner daily on the veil between the most holy place and the holy place.
Mm.
That is what Christ went to do when he returned to heaven.
That
was his work. Uh-huh. And so he was accepting the sins of all the sinners, taking them upon himself, and the record of that repentance, the sin fest and repentance, remains in heaven.
Mm.
And so because he took upon himself the sin of all the sinners who repented, there was need that sin be cleansed, washed away, removed from the sanctuary.
Mm.
And so to do that, he had to go into the most holy place to begin the work of removing the sin that has been deposited into the sanctuary. And so, yes, there is in the heavenly sanctuary a day of atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what the Bible says. So Daniel helps us understand what actually happened when Christ returned to heaven.
Mm.
So Daniel gives us a prophecy of 2,300 years or days, same thing. So in that prophecy, it has a beginning and an ending. So it begins, according to Daniel chapter 9, it begins in 457 BC, before Christ comes on earth as the incarnated Savior. Before he comes, it begins. And then it proceeds further after he returns to heaven.
Mm.
And so that particular time period ends in 1844.
Mm.
It is then that Christ moved from the holy place into the most holy place to begin the work of atonement.
Mm.
And so the work of atonement in the heavenly sanctuary has been going on since 1844, because that is when the 2,300 day prophecy ended.
Mm.
And so, like Daniel chapter 8, verse 14 says, verse 7 that brings about this particular assurance, because verse 7 is a question. When will these things be in Daniel chapter 7? That's a question.
Mm.
And then in Daniel chapter 8, verse 13.
Mm.
But in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, the answer is then given. And the answer is, unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
The reference is the heavenly sanctuary.
Yeah.
Meaning, it is then that Christ enters into the most holy place and begins the work of atonement. As in, the typical day of atonement here on earth began in 1844 and is ongoing until now.
Hmm.
Yes. The problem, though, is that it won't last forever.
Okay.
There will come a time when it will come to an end, when Christ will finish his work in that place.
Do we know when that happens, is?
Unfortunately, we don't.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we don't, because the Bible has not told us. Only the Bible has told us when to expect it to come to an end.
Mm.
Yeah. In Matthew chapter 24, from verse 32 up to verse 34, you have a parable there, the parable of the fig tree. So Jesus, after telling the signs of his return and the end of the age, he says to the disciples, now learn from the parable of the tree, of the fig tree. When its leaves are green and tender, then you know that summer is near. Mm-hmm. And because of this, know also that when you see all these signs fulfilled, then it is near even at the door. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 35, I think. Let me just confirm. I'm going there to confirm.
Okay.
So he says there that particular, he says, this generation shall not pass.
Mm.
When you see these things being fulfilled, this generation shall not pass. Meaning the generation that sees the last of the signs that he lists in chapter 24, that generation is the generation that shall see the Son of Man come down in the clouds of the air.
Mm.
Now, what that means is that as when we see Christ return, then it is too late because Christ will have finished his work in the heavenly sanctuary a while longer before he returns to earth.
Mm.
So, the safeguard is our understanding. It's actually verse 34. And verse 34 says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place.
Mm.
All these things that he has listed, the signs, when that generation sees the last of the signs, the generation that sees those signs will not pass away before Christ returns.
Mm.
And so I like to believe that we are that generation because when I look at the signs in chapter 24, I don't think there is any that is yet to fulfill because all of them have fulfilled. And so I like to believe that we are that generation that shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds of the air.
Yeah, Mfundisi, what a bold statement. I mean, he has been coming. He has been coming, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mm-hmm. think so far, Mfundisi, it's pretty much clear in terms of the Day of Atonement, the sanctuary, and everything else. And it's a pity that the scriptures, through the prophecies that we find in Revelation and the Book of Daniel, we're unable to really pinpoint when Jesus will be done with the work of the sanctuary. So do you have any closing remarks, Mpundiswami, or any insights that if a person maybe has just tuned in now, they don't get the whole gist, what we have been speaking about the whole week, what is it that they should take when it comes to the sanctuary?
All right. So let me read from Revelation chapter 22. Let me read from verse 11 and verse 12. This is what the Bible says. So Revelation 22, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, he who is unjust, let him be just, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. That is what the Bible says in Revelation. Now, what will happen is this. Because Christ is in the holy place doing the work of atonement, as in cleansing the sanctuary, removing sin from the sanctuary, and at the same time doing the work of judgment through the investigation of who must make it into heaven. Because what Jesus is doing is preparing room for those who are repentant, those who have repented of their sins. He is making room for them in heaven so that when he returns, he comes to take them to heaven in the mansions that he is preparing for them right now. That work is the work of investigative judgment as to ascertain who is worthy to enter into heaven. And so what's going to happen is that as Christ finishes the work of atonement, not everyone will be found worthy. Not everyone will have repented of their sins. But there would be nothing more that Christ would do to help them receive salvation. And so this is why he will be forced to utter these words. I have been at this work since 1844. And up to now, there is that one who has not repented of their sin. And so because the work of atonement has to come to a close, so let him who is unjust remain unjust still. Those are the words that Christ is going to utter. Very unpleasant words for humanity. And it must not be said of us to remain filthy still, to remain unjust still. It must be said of us, let him remain righteous still. Let him remain holy still. Those are the words that Christ should say in our behalf, so that when he shall come, then we know we shall make the number of those he shall take home. That is what Christ is going to do. Now, let me close here. The beauty about the work that Jesus is doing in the holy place, in the most holy place, is that it is a work of reconciliation of humanity to himself, so much so that human beings will live with God forever. Now, when we go back to Revelation chapter 21, there are very many verses I would have loved to read, but I will not read all of them. So when we go back to Revelation chapter 21, the Bible there says that heaven as it is now and earth as it is now will both pass away. That means that even the heavenly sanctuary will pass away, because heaven and earth will both pass away. God will do away with these things, and he will create a new heaven and a new earth in the place of the old earth and heaven. The beauty about this new earth is that the throne of God will shift from heaven to earth, so much so that God will be in the midst of his people forever. And then the Bible says there will not be a sanctuary there. There will only be a throne of God in the midst of the city. Remember, we had talked about the directional locations of the children of Israel, north, east, and south, three tribes on each side. In this city, the new Jerusalem, the new earth that God is going to create, it will have four directions, just as the camp of Israel was. And he will have three gates on each side, like the way it was in the wilderness with three tribes on each side. So there will be three tribes on each side of the city. And God's throne will be in the middle of that city. And it will not be shielded or barricaded by any buildings this time around. There will be no sanctuary. There will just be the throne of God. And God says in chapter 1 that the saints will, in verse 1, I mean, 21 verse 1, the saints will reign with Christ forever. And God will be their God. In verse 3, God will be their God and they will be his people. They will be with him forever.
Indeed.
So the work of atonement cuts off those whose sins have not been forgiven, and it perpetuates life for those whose sins have been forgiven, and brings about everlasting life.
Fundis, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for us?
All right. Let us pray. Our Father, our Savior and Redeemer, Holy One of Israel, we honor your name and praise you this morning for your goodness and mercies. You are a loving God, so loving that you are willing to forgive us of our sins when we repent of them, because you are just and righteous. And so we pray, my Father and my Lord, that in your faithfulness, wash us of our sins, purify us, that, Lord, all the past sins we have done be taken away and remembered no more. So we pray, my Father, remember to register our names in the book of life. And as we go on, we pray, my Savior, by the influence and power of the Holy Spirit, help us understand in depth the subject of the sanctuary because it pertains to our salvation. We pray, draw us near to thee, that indeed we may draw near to you. We pray, my Father and my Lord, grant us the presence of the Holy Spirit. May he be in our hearts, even to burn away the chaff, the inclination of sin, that we be made holy and holy still every day, as it were, from glory to glory, so we may achieve perfection, because it is your desire that we be holy as you are. So we pray, my Father, be with us and hear our cry. Even grant us the presence of the Holy Spirit, that this work of perfection be made possible in our lives and in our hearts. And as we achieve perfection, we pray, my Father, make us examples that we may draw others also to perfection in deed and in speech. We pray and ask, may your name be glorified, even as you bless your people as they continue to listen to you. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Mgandawir, thank you. Have yourself a blessed, blessed Sabbath with your family tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed Sabbath too.
Amen.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.